You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Okay, so to Jonah. This summer we're going to be looking over, through the book of Jonah. Dan started off last week with chapter 1, and I'm going to be looking through chapter 2. Now, if you've heard me speak before, you know that I tend to keep my speaking short. And I don't know if you've read Jonah 2, but it's very short. So welcome to the shortest preach that CLC has ever seen. So we're going to be looking through Jonah chapter 2. Just a quick recap for those of you who weren't here last week or might not know the story of Jonah. In brief, Jonah was a prophet. God wanted him to go and preach about God to the people of Nineveh. They weren't a nice group of people, to put it mildly. So Jonah decided to disobey God and get as far away from them as he could. The ship he boarded was caught in a huge storm, and the sailors, understanding that the storm was the power of Jonah's God, threw him overboard in order to save the ship. And it worked. The storm was calmed, and then Jonah was eaten by a giant fish. That's chapter 1 in a nutshell. Did I do it justice, Dan? Excellent. Fab. So I have struggled with my preparation for today, possibly due to my extended holiday. Thank you, Jesus. But also, I did feel a bit of pressure to bring something new from reading Jonah. The story of Jonah is known so well. Even today at work, I said to someone that I was sharing this morning, and I said I was sharing from Jonah, and they're like, oh, the whale guy. Like, yes. And so it's so well known, and I didn't want to cover old ground. So I prayed, and I reread the whole book, and then just chapter 2, and then I prayed, and read a few devotionals and commentaries, and a few more rereads, and I prayed. And I think I have something to share with you this morning. And I hope that what I know God wants me to bring, brings fresh insight for those who know the story well, and also do justice to such an important story for anyone who doesn't know it that well. The sailors in chapter 1 most likely thought that Jonah going overboard was the end of his story, but God wasn't finished with Jonah, and I believe that he can still bring fresh revelation through Jonah today. So we're going to start off just by, I haven't done a PowerPoint because I can't use them. They're never very good when I do. So we're just going to have the scripture up on the screen, and we're going to read through chapter 2. But we're going to start from chapter 1, verse 17, you know, to bulk it out a bit. If you've got it up. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down, and the earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So, I believe that we can all be a bit like Jonah, and God can use us as he used him. I just want to pick out a few ways that I believe we are like Jonah. Number one, stubbornness. Jonah was stubborn. I feel like in the world, stubborn, I mean, it is. It has very negative connotations of being stubborn. And we're encouraged to say strong-willed instead, like my two strong-willed daughters who are stubborn. But Jonah was, you could say he was strong-willed, but he was defying God. So we can say he was stubborn. This was really clear in chapter 1 when he chose to run away from God. He didn't just ignore him, he literally ran in the opposite direction to where God wanted him to be. And maybe controversially, I believe that this stubbornness has even extended into his salvation, into his prayer. God has provided the big fish so that Jonah doesn't drown, yet it seems to take him 3 days to finally thank God. So in chapter 1:17 it says, "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." And as Dan shared last week, Jonah is still in disobedience at this point. And it doesn't exactly say when Jonah offers up this prayer, but the way it reads suggests that it was after a good chunk of time. And I thought, can we not be guilty of this sometimes? We can get so distracted and frustrated with our situation that we don't realise how God is working and thank him for his new mercies each day. My eldest daughter, Rosie, is about to go into year 3 in school, and she is, for the most part, happy at her. She's really happy at her school. But if you know me, you'll know that her school was not my first choice. So when we got the email to say which school she was going to, I was quite upset. And it's been a really long process for me to come to terms with the fact that she's not gone to the school I wanted and the path that I'd expected. And even now, even today, when things happen at the school, I still stubbornly argue with God as to why he put her there. But so much good has come out of her being at that school. For one thing, we wouldn't have moved house to where we are now if she hadn't have got into that school. And 6 months later, COVID hit, and I would have gone mad in my old house during lockdown, but we were really happy where we were, and it was a much better place for us to be. I couldn't have known that. I didn't know that COVID was, who could have guessed COVID was coming around the corner? But God knew, and God knew that putting Rosie in that school meant we would have to move house and be in the place that we are today. And that's just one of the ways things God's moved in. We've been able to support a family in our church who've come back to Hereford, and their children go to the same school. So we've been able to help support them with pickups and drop-offs. And Holly's godparents, Hannah and Ashley, their daughter, I was going to say little girl, but she's not little anymore, that she went to that school, and we were great friends before, but I really believe in being at the same school has made us even closer, which is amazing, and that's an even great, and he's worked so much through that. And through all this, whilst writing this preach, I've been able to be like, yes, thank you, Lord. But at the time, when this was happening, I was still just really holding to that stubbornness and bitterness over the fact that Rosie didn't go where I wanted. I am a work in progress, and I need to keep praising God for how he's changed our situation and blessed us. So, back to Jonah. Even in his prayer, Jonah doesn't actually admit that he got it wrong. He thanks God for rescuing him from rock bottom, but he doesn't actually say, "Sorry, God, I messed up. I should have listened." I believe it's Jonah being stubborn. He's not wanting to change his heart towards Nineveh. As we see later on, his attitude hasn't changed completely towards them. But again, can we not do this as well? We thank God for a change in situation, but maybe not acknowledge that it was our own sin that got us there in the first place. That's not always the case. I'm not saying that it's always the case, but sometimes we can find ourselves in these situations and we don't acknowledge, we don't give it to God and repent and turn away from it. And we need to question when we praise God for our change, when we praise God for our changing situation, are we also repenting and turning away from the sin and softened our hearts? So you might think I'm being a little bit hard on Jonah. He is human, he is fallible, and he does finally cry out to God and praise him for saving him. Jonah isn't praying to be saved from the fish, he is praising God for using the fish to save him. He's still not in a great place, but he's thankful that God has improved his situation. God's grace comes in various forms, and it may not look how we expect, but it always means we get something good that we don't deserve. The next way we can be like Jonah is hitting rock bottom. Any Man United fans? You guys know what it's like to be rock bottom. Chin up, chickens. It's a long way to go. I did. So it took Jonah reaching, I am not comparing where Man United are in the Premiership to Jonah, and said genuinely hitting rock bottom in life. Just to throw it out there. But it took Jonah reaching rock bottom, literally sinking to the bottom of the sea, to realise that God is his salvation. And sometimes we have to reach rock bottom. Painful and low experiences are often places that God uses to help us come face to face with our destructive habits and our sinful behaviours that we need to let go of and overcome. As one commentary put it, it is painful but gainful as we repent of the old life and embrace more of the new life that God has in store for us. Jesus died so that we could fully turn away from our sin and live right with God. This was a painful process, and what we experience when painfully facing up to our sin is just a shadow of this. Peter writes in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. So I just wanted to share a little story of something that I've been going through and about how I sort of hit rock bottom. And some people will know, but a lot of people won't, that I'm currently fasting alcohol. And for the whole of 2022, and if you do know me, this is a challenge. But I did feel for really quite some time that God was challenging me on not how much I drank. I didn't have a drinking problem. I wasn't going out every night, getting drunk and being hungover every day. But certainly during COVID, it was an idol in my life that rather than turning to God, I would have a glass of wine. So I felt very challenged by this, and my good friend Hannah would always say that as Christians we are free to drink, but are we free not to drink? And I just felt like I was getting to a place where I wasn't. I was becoming slightly dependent on needing to have a drink. And like Jonah, I just ignored what God was saying. Again, it wasn't like I was drinking all the time, but it did all come to a head at Christmas, where there was a family occasion with my family, and I drank quite a lot more than I have for a very long time. A piece of news from the family was shared, and I did not handle it very well. I couldn't have probably handled it more poorly. I was not a good witness. I didn't show God's love. And that was because I'd been drinking. Had I been given that information in a sober setting, then I could have prayed about it, asked God for wisdom over my words. And as a result, there has been a big severing of a relationship in my family. And it's not completely down to me, but I was a large part in that. I acknowledge now that it was my sin of being dependent on alcohol to be able to have a good time at that event. And I really hit rock bottom with that. It took me a very long time to feel any peace or move away from any guilt or shame from it. But God challenged me to stop drinking alcohol, and I have, and I feel a lot better for it. And now I'm not dependent on it. I've been for away for a weekend with friends who are big drinkers. I didn't drink, but I still had a great time. I was able to talk to God about them, and I've been able to explain to people why I'm fasting. And God is using that situation. But it took me hitting that rock bottom and facing up to my sin for God to really work in me and help me move away from that. So that's not an easy story for me to tell. Believe me, I come off much worse if I gave you all the details. But I just wanted to give it a bit of like a modern day context, basically. And also that I'm not standing up here preaching at you. It's to me as well. And if you've got, you feel like you've had a situation or a story like that, I'd love to chat with you and pray about it after. And yeah, don't run away from God. So the next bit is part of where we're like Jonah is our relationship and proximity to God. Jonah's story shows us that there is hope for us, even when we stray from our relationship with God. The physical depths of the ocean are nothing to God, but Jonah sinking to the bottom of the sea is a good picture of the spiritual distance that Jonah tried to put between himself and God. God met Jonah when he was as far from God as he could possibly be. I read recently about how mothers have an invisible cord between them and their children. And I joke when Holly, my youngest, when she comes running back to me, it's because she's felt the cord's a bit too tight and it's tugging and she just needs to come back closer to mummy. And I think that that's, it's just so true with our relationship with God. It lengthens and shortens at different times when we go different things in life, but it's always there. The cord was broken when sin entered the world, but it was always there waiting to be repaired. And then Jesus came and died for us, so the cord was mended and could never again be severed by sin. As Paul writes to the Romans, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord." So Jonah was given a second chance. He acknowledges that God brought him out of the pit. And at the end of the chapter, he's freed from the fish. And Jonah has vowed to speak of God being his salvation. And like Jonah, we have been given a second chance, brought up from the pit of sin by Jesus' death and resurrection. And over the next couple of weeks, we will find out what Jonah did with his second chance. And we can use this, I'd like us to use this time over the next few weeks to think about what we are doing and what we're going to be doing with our second chance. But Jonah's story still isn't over, but for the moment, we get a clear picture of what happens when we are broken and we experience God's grace. Our stubborn hearts are softened, we become more obedient, and we move outward in service to God and others. God doesn't give up on us. He doesn't choose us because we are perfect. He just chooses us. And he honours our faith even when our faith falters. So we're going to have a time of ministry now. I said I was keeping it short. When I was sharing this with Tim, I won't take credit, Tim felt that it would be really good to respond to this for anybody who doesn't know Jesus, who would like to respond and pray for him to be in our life, but also for anyone who's just feeling distant or far from God or feeling like that there's sin that's trying to sever that cord and it feels like it's stretching a little bit. And if you've turned away from God completely and you want to rededicate your life back to him. So the musicians are going to come up and we're going to have a song. And I just really love to take the time to just give this time to God. And if there is anybody that would like prayer, you can come to one of us at the front. We'll pray for you, or you can pop your hand up and we can come and pray with you as well. But it's, we might joke that it's a time filler, but it's not a time filler. It's time for God to move. And I just hope that what I've shared will have stirred something in people. And you can just give this time to God now to respond. Mm-hmm.